Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith, and I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. Welcome to episode five. Five episodes in. I love doing this with you guys every week. I love talking to the wonderful women in Orlando that I have been meeting and bringing them onto the podcast so I can share their wisdom with you. And my guest today is no different than any of the other awesome women. Today, I have Caitlin Cook with South Street & Company on my podcast. And she is such a go-getter. I am constantly amazed with everything that she does. Her and I have been going out and about to networking events a lot together. She's kind of my networking BFF right now, and I am so thankful for her for it because it's really nice sometimes to go to an event and have someone else there with you that you know, and she just is out there, for lack of a better word, hustling. And her business story is so fascinating. I can't wait for you guys to hear this interview today. She's just amazing. And I am so happy that she has come into my life right now and is on the podcast today to tell her story to you guys. I really hope that you get some inspiration about how hard it is really to start a new business, because I really think that Caitlin's story really gets that story across. And with that, let's go on to the interview. Diana with Orlando Lady Boss, and I'm here with Caitlin Cook with South Street & Company. Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Thanks for having me.
So, Caitlin, let's go ahead and start and just tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so I have a marketing agency in Thornton Park, and what we do is we specialize in helping small to medium-sized businesses with their online marketing, and that could range anywhere from revamping a website to creating a website, social media, blogging, email marketing, and consulting, just to name a few things.
Wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in marketing and what brought you from where you were to where you are today?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I went to UCF and loved it. I was originally going for I was originally going for physical therapy, and I at that time worked at Bath and Body Works, and I just hit every sales goal that they gave me. I was really getting along with people well, and the one story that really did it for me to change my major from physical therapy to marketing was I was at the Florida Mall, and we had this perfume that was a perfume that wasn't very, I mean, it was just very floral. So you had to have a certain type of like in order to want to buy it. So there's this lady that came in, and she didn't speak English, and she was with her daughter-in-law who did speak English and translated for her. She said, I just want something to make me feel beautiful. So I took her over to this line that we had to like help her skin and make her feel beautiful like she wanted. And then I was like, you know what? You might like this perfume that we have. And it ends up that it was the perfect scent just for her. So I ended up selling all three of them, and we could not move these things for the life of us. I mean, the managers had been trying, and then I just kind of asked her, hey, what do you think about this? And she loved it, so she bought all of them. So from there, I changed my major and then graduated from UCF with a degree in marketing, looked for a job everywhere except for Orlando, and found one here. Of course, that always happens, right? Mm-hmm. And I got a job as the new person in charge of marketing for Mid-Florida Dermatology, which is a dermatologist in the Orlando area. And before that, he really had never had anyone helping with marketing, and he was kind of like, okay, here you go, let's see what you can do. So in the first 6 months, I helped them rebrand the whole company, new logo, slogan, website. I implemented social media, email marketing, and blogging for the first time. And then I was with them for 2.5 years, and over that time helped them with digital marketing and then outside marketing, kind of like what you think a drug rep would do, like bringing lunches to doctors mm-hmm. and saying hello, dropping off pens. And over the 2.5 years that I was there, I helped them double in size. And so when I left, they had 20 offices and 3 were out of state, 17 were in Central Florida. So I just kind of felt like I reached a plateau. And, you know, when you double in that amount of time, you have to, you know, have the cash flow.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, they had 10 when I started. And to double like that is crazy. And I was so happy for them. And I was so happy to be able to have that experience and to learn all the hands-on information that I know mm-hmm. right now. So, like I said, I just felt like I reached a plateau, and my parents had always been advocates of being an entrepreneur. So they were like, well, why don't you start this on your own? And at first I was like, yeah, I don't really know if I want to do that. And then my mom kind of pushed me and my parents pushed me, and I got my first client in 2014, started working morning, nights, and weekends to build up the clientele, set a goal to be out by March 2017, and got into like daytime networking that fall, and then really started like, you know, hitting the pavement, going door to door, introducing myself to people. And then I left March 14th was my last day. So I'm, you know, have been growing ever since, and I'm happy that, you know, 2 years is right around the corner, which is nuts.
That's crazy. You know, I think you probably in 2014 is when I kind of started my goal of let me get out. It took me, I think, 2 years to get out of the part-time to the full-time. So I'm impressed. I'm sitting here like sweating going, oh my goodness.
No, girl, listen. This was no easy feat. And it's funny because like people will be like, oh, Caitlin, you're so lucky. Like, look where you are now. But I honestly woke up 5 days a week at 5 o'clock in the morning, worked until 6:30, you know, got ready for work, worked from 8 to 5, and then came back home and worked till 11 o'clock at night. And then on the weekends, I would work the entire weekend mm-hmm. doing the client work because I couldn't afford to leave that paycheck yet. Mm-hmm. So I just put like pedal to the metal. My family was super supportive. My boyfriend was like really, really supportive, and they were like behind me the whole way.
That's great. And I mean, how you talk about your family and your boyfriend, how important is it to have those support systems around you as you're trying to build something, especially when you're working full time, because it can be so stressful to do that.
Yeah. If you could see my face, I'm like scrunching it right now. Like, yes, yes. I think it's honestly invaluable. Even if you don't have your family there with you, even if you don't have a significant other, find people who believe in you and find people who want to push you further. I had some amazing people that I met. One of them, she was the one who introduced me to the daytime networking, and she really helped me expand my business. I mean, if it wasn't for like, and by daytime networking, I mean like the B&I type groups, like the lead generation groups, that mm-hmm. type of thing. So I feel like it's honestly so important, even if you have like girlfriends, if you have a mentor, if you have a teacher that you still keep in contact with, they just want what's best for you. And for me, it was my parents and some of my friends and my boyfriend too, just pushing me and saying, hey, you know what? You can do this.
Yeah. And I think it's important to find people who get what it is you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so even if you're having those days where you're just going, I don't know if I can do that, especially working 7 days a week, because I know how that feels too, mm-hmm. doing the 9 to 5 and then coming home. I did not get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I did. I would work evenings and on the weekends, and you feel like the work is never done. Mm-hmm. But you're passionate about it. You want to get out, yeah. You want to start something new. And just finding ways to get through that. Now, when you were doing that kind of stuff, when you were working like that, how were you able to find some time for yourself? And so you weren't like completely driving yourself nuts, or were you? Were you not doing that?
I mean, I honestly like try to block that out of my memory. Just kidding. No. But I would have to, so even when I was driving, cause I drove a lot for work, you know, they had like 20 offices all around Central Florida. Mm-hmm. So I was in the car a lot. So I was like, okay, how can I utilize my time in the car? I can't like read. And that's when I got into podcasts and Audible. Mm-hmm. So I really listened to a lot of books. I listened to a lot of podcasts that really like helped me. And one that I would highly recommend is How I Built This by NPR. Have you heard of it?
No, that one is, I'm not familiar with.
Oh my gosh, it's so great. It's talking about all of these companies who are like giant moguls now and how they started. Hmm. Like the last one 2 weeks ago was with Mark Cuban and how he started. And of course, you know, he's the billionaire. He's on Shark Tank. But I think that... And one thing that I did not do was balance life and work. And I, to be honest, I wasn't 100% happy, but that was also 6 months out of my entire life that I like hit the ground, like full force running. But once I finally like quit my job, I got into a routine. I started working out again. I didn't really work out during that time because I had no time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, finding time for my boyfriend too, we would like eat dinner together. And then I'd be like, okay, I have to go back upstairs and like do work.
I think that's important because what you just said about how like during that time period, I didn't have a balance because that was how I felt too. Mm-hmm. I felt very much I didn't have a balance. All it was about work. And I know not everyone can do that. But if you have the opportunity to do that and you can take advantage of that, mm-hmm. it's okay if you can't hit all of those different areas of your life that you're trying to. If you're really concentrating on your business, you may not be able to concentrate on your fitness or, hey, I had a burger for lunch because I had to pick it up as opposed to a salad and I didn't sleep very well, you know. And I think those types of things are okay because you hear so much about, oh, we need to have everything in balance and we have to do everything, but you can't always do everything.
Yeah.
Have you read the book, The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes?
No, I've heard of it.
It's so good. But one of the things she talks about is when she's succeeding in one area of her life, another area of her life isn't, she's not doing well.
Yeah.
Like if she's on par with her company and her production, her family is getting neglected, and vice versa. And I think that that's a part of the story a lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah, and it's so crazy because I think as females, we feel like, oh, well, let me just apologize because I couldn't be there for that, or let me just like say sorry for this. And my mom's like, I was joking with my mom, like, Mom, you never knew you were going to be a business advisor, did you? And she's like, no, I should charge you. I'm like, no, you can't, Mom. Yeah. But I was talking to her, and she was like, Caitlin, stop saying sorry. Mm-hmm. Don't apologize. If you really think about it, like, men are less likely to apologize than women. Mm-hmm. And you read all the time, you're like, oh, well, a true entrepreneur wakes up early, goes to bed late, they hustle, hustle, hustle. But in reality, the lady who got me into, like, this daytime networking, she is an acupuncturist and a massage therapist, and she was like, Caitlin, I know someone like you who in their 30s they had a stroke because they did everything that you're doing times, like, 10, and they didn't stop. So now I try to have, like, me time on Wednesdays. My boyfriend, who's now recently my fiancé, I'll throw that in there.
Congratulations.
Thanks, girl. So I
have, you know, women business owners, if you have men that are there to help support you, it's so important because I have a husband, too, who really took the brunt of a lot of that during that time period.
Yes. I just, like, a side note, the one thing that, like, really was amazing with him was I was like, well, his name's Andy. So I was like, well, Andy, you know, what if everything goes up in smoke? He's like, Caitlin, I'll buy the groceries. If I have to pay rent, I'll pay your rent. And, like, to me, luckily I never, like, had that happen, thank goodness. But that was just, like, a security blanket because I had zero funding for this. Like, everyone's like, oh, do you own 100%? Yeah. Oh, well, who invested? No one. I worked my butt off.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were talking about with the women, I just feel like in, you know, all of these magazines you hear about how you just need to, like, go, go, go. But my friend Amy, she really was like, Caitlin, you need to take time for yourself. Mm-hmm. So Wednesdays are date nights. Mm-hmm. I try not to look at my phone or check my phone on the weekends. After, like, 6, maybe 6:30, I throw my work phone in my purse and I go home and I don't check it till the morning. You know, if something's an emergency, like, all of my employees have my cell phone, my personal cell phone number. I'll, you know, if something's... there really hasn't been a marketing emergency, to be honest. But, you know, if something happens, like someone posts a negative review or something and I need to look at it, I'll get it in the morning and I'll make sure to take care of it. But it's just like finding that balance. You really need that because I can tell you I was so stressed out. I wasn't like where I wanted to be personally. And especially like working out and running, it's important to me because I think that you should feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, then everything, you know, increases from there.
Oh my gosh. That's the lesson I've learned the past year in 2016 was when I didn't feel good about myself, there was nothing I can do to convince other people that I was good enough for anything.
Yeah.
In whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself, carving a little time and trying mm-hmm. to figure that out, even if you are building a business. But I think it's a little bit of both, like understanding that there can be time periods where you're in crunch times versus mm-hmm. times where, like, yes, you need to figure out ways to carve time out.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the balance that everyone seeks, right? Everybody seeks.
Yeah, and men don't think about that. Because I think as women, we're supposed to be everything. Like, we've had this, in the 90s and the early 2000s, it's been this whole, like, you can have it all. And then I think we're both millennials going, wait, do we really want it all?
Yeah. But, like, what part of all do I really want?
What part of all do I really want? Because that's important. Because we don't have to have it all. And whatever it is that you want out of life, you have to figure out what those things are. And you don't have to have every bit the perfect way. You know?
Yeah.
If you want to be that go-getter businesswoman and, like, yes, raw, like, go after it. But if you want to be that, I want to be successful and powerful at work, but I want to go home and I want to have a family and bake the cookies and do all that kind of stuff too. Like, you should be able to want to have that and figure out how those pieces fit into your life.
Yeah, I totally agree. In a book, have you read Lean In
by Sheryl? Yes.
Oh gosh. Okay. Everyone listening, that book is amazing. And it talks exactly about that, how women shouldn't feel like they can't or shouldn't go home when 5 o'clock rolls around. Mm-hmm. You know, she was talking about, like, how she felt like she needed to be at the office till 8 because that's what other people were doing, how she didn't have time with her family. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you only have one life to live. Mm-hmm. And even though that sounds, you know, so cliche, it's really true. And, I mean, hello, it's 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. Yeah, it should be, like, simple knowledge, but it just isn't. And whatever your life, what you want your life to look at, and it can change over time.
Oh, yeah,
Don't think you've pigeonholed yourself into one thing, that's what your life should look like, and mm-hmm. then... okay, it's over. Let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. And your definition of happiness varies from the next person. Like, your and my definition of happiness are probably two very different things.
Totally.
And, like, your definition of, like, what a good work product is and what mine is are two different things. You know, we have, like, different ways to be creative, different ideas, mm-hmm. and that's the beauty of it.
But, of course, we can understand each other on what our goals are and help each other achieve those things, whatever they look like.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is another part of it. Because mm-hmm. as women, we have to help other women lift each other up to get to whatever that next step of ideal life as opposed to ideal business. But, you know, if it's business, if it's mm-hmm. anything in life, I think that's important.
Yeah.
But let's go back to your business. So one of the things that your business really concentrates on is partnering with small businesses. Mm-hmm. And you're a marketing agency for small mm-hmm. businesses. And why did you think that that was the right niche for you?
That's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that before. So this is my reveal to the world. So the reason why was because I helped Mid-Florida Derm expand and just, I mean, double in size the time that I was there. And I look at them as a small business, even though, you know, they had 10 offices. That was definitely within my wheelhouse. So, and that's the other thing too. Everyone's definition of, like, small business is different. Mm-hmm. So my business can focus on businesses who have 20 locations, but have, like, one social media site or one website mm-hmm. or maybe a couple websites, but, like, a company like The Magic or, like, let's say Coca-Cola, that would be way too big for where we are now. Mm-hmm. Now, in the future, you know, come back in, like, 5 years, maybe 2 years, let's chat. But I just felt like I really loved the small business story. Like, I had a lady who found me online yesterday, and she does this type of service. It's called microblading, which is where it's not tattooing, but it's, like, semi-permanent for your eyebrows. Hmm. And she just told me, she was like, you know what, I want to work with cancer patients and I want to help women feel beautiful. And, like, I got goosebumps, you know. It's not like the big guy trying to make a dollar. It's like these people literally want to help. And so I love working with the clients that I have, because like I have an AC client, I have a massage therapist, I have a speaker, I have an artist, and it's all over the board. But at the end of the day, everyone's trying to make a difference. And those are the clients that I love working with. And I work with anyone who wants to be hands-on, to anyone who wants to take it over. And I just help them with consulting and, you know, helping their business expand. But usually their stories are like the thing that I love hearing, because a lot of times it's so passionate because they love what they do.
You know, that's one thing that I think is really important with small businesses, because I've always worked for small businesses. Small, medium-sized businesses. And the thing that sets the business apart and what you see as far as branding is concerned is, what is the story? What makes you different from someone else? And when you're building a business, especially when you're a one-person business or whatever, you are the story.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? And that's important. And people want to know that, because it adds a layer of dimension to who they are. You know, I want to do eyebrow tattoos for cancer patients. Like, that's powerful.
Yeah,
you know?
So powerful. Yeah. And, I mean, that just puts, like, fuel in my fire to come up with an amazing strategy for them. Like, she wanted a brand new website, and she was like, well, what do you think of my website? I was like, I don't think it's updated. And I think that if you update it, then you can potentially charge more for your services. Mm-hmm. And then people see, oh yeah, I want to go to this place, because this place reflects professionalism. It's modern, it's updated, and it's chic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people want. They want to know what they're walking into, and they want to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that leads me to the next, my next question, which is kind of about when you work with a small business and building that team around you as a small business owner, because you partner with small business owners, people don't really think that, they don't really want to reach out to small business owners because they think that they don't have the budget or they don't have this, but you just brought a great example up about how, hey, if we do a little bit here, it makes you look more expensive. It makes you look like you can charge more. So, you know, why for a small business owner are some of those things that it's important to have those team members around you and to pay for those services?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, so when working at Mid Florida Derm, I was the marketing director for them, but I also worked with other marketing agencies too. And the thing that that small businesses need to learn is that you are skilled at your particular, or not that they actually need to learn, but, you know, just realize, because for me too, I mean, I am not good at accounting. Mm-hmm. That's why I do marketing. Hello, yeah. I hated math classes. So guess what? I have an accountant. That's not something I excel at. But a lot of people think, oh, well, social media is free and I can just do it myself. But are you really targeting the right people? Are you sending the right message? What does your website say about you? I mean, people are, what do you do when you look something up? You Google it.
Mm-hmm.
So having a really positive image and having something that portrays your company in the right light is essential. And I would look at it not as though, oh, I'm paying this company. I would look at it as a partnership, because that's how I want my company to be. I love when clients come in here and they bring all their paperwork, or they bring like all their tchotchkes, and they're like, this is what I have. What can you do with it? And I'm like, all right, where should we start? So then we come up with a cohesive strategy that works for them. And talking about budget, you know, I work with people on an hourly basis. So it's like, if you're here for an hour, I charge you for an hour. But I also work with other people who might have a bigger budget to start off with, who need like a big website. So that's more of like a chunk, or who need their social media handled because they have a great income coming in. They just don't have time to do this, and they know that they need it.
Mm-hmm. So as when you work with small businesses, and I'm sure you have a lot of people come in and like, I just can't afford this, or I can't do this. How do you stay firm also as owning a small business and not giving away your services for free so you don't feel like you're getting undervalued for the work that you're doing?
Do you know what? One of the hardest things, and I still think I'm like getting this right, was setting my prices.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started, I think I charged like $40 an hour, which to me, I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? And I don't have any clients that I still charge that. You know, they've either like gone off on their own, or, you know, it's expanded from there. We added more services. But now I really think, and here's the other thing too. it's all about perception. Mm-hmm. If people perceive you that you are valuable to them, then they'll pay for it. Mm-hmm. And that goes along with your question about the website. Well, if you have a really good looking website, people are going to think, you know, this person knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Then, and when you charge, you know, let's say you charge like $200 an hour or $100 an hour, they think it's worth it.
Yeah.
So it's all about perception and it's all about value.
Yeah. And I think when you first are getting out there and you're charging the rates for yourself, because the same thing for me too, when I was saying, oh, $40 or $50 an hour, and I'm going,
yeah, oh my, you're like, God, holding your breath, like, please make it be okay.
is the only person that's going to flinch at that is you.
Yeah.
The other people aren't. And if they are going to flinch at it, then they're not valuing what the service is.
Right.
Especially as someone that works for yourself. Because the thing that I kind of learned is when you work for yourself, you're not just an hourly employee. Whatever that work you're doing for the client, double the amount of time it takes to do all the administrative stuff that surrounds
it. Exactly.
So when you think of, oh, that I charge $40 an hour for this thing,
mm-hmm,
for 1 hour of work, it actually is 2 hours because it's 1 hour of the work and 1 hour of administrative costs that go around.
Do you know that. What? That's so right, and I never even thought about that. I mean, now I never even thought about it, you know? And even, like, here's the thing, too. I met with this lady, and she was great. She has her own HR consulting company, and she was like, for any consulting clients that I have, I charge them an additional 7% on top because that accounts for the emails that come in, the phone calls that are, like, around 15 minutes, mm-hmm, any questions that they have, any concerns, and, like, anything that I basically don't have to do paperwork for.
Mm-hmm.
But you're so right, and I just thought that was really smart of her. And here's the other thing, too. So my mom, she, you know, another mom insight here. She was like,
you know what? Moms have a lot of knowledge. Don't discount.
My mom is the bomb.com. Yeah. Yeah. No, do not discount. So she was like, you know, I was really struggling with like what I was going to charge per hour. And I keep increasing it as like my bandwidth and knowledge increases, which I think it should.
Mm-hmm.
So I was struggling with charging like over $65 an hour. And my mom called me and she was like, Caitlin, a plumber, an electrician charge $100 an hour for a consult, okay? And not to like discredit them at all, because I mean, hello, if your toilet backs up, I am gonna call that plumber no matter what.
And you're probably gonna charge, you'll probably pay $100 an hour.
Exactly, that's the same thing. And so she's like, Caitlin, if they're charging $100 an hour for just a consult, then you can charge that too, because you have your degree backing it, you now have experience in the industry, and you have all of these accolades that you didn't have before. So for me, it was like that realization that, okay, yeah, I am worth it. But the thing that I had to get over was in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you say, I charge $65 an hour, or if you say, I charge $65 an hour, there's a huge difference in that presentation, and it's like you believing it.
Yeah, and I think if you just practice saying that into the mirror, to your cat, to your dog. I think saying it out loud, practicing saying it out loud is important.
Yeah.
Because you're going to run into a networking event, especially as you start going out, and people are going to start asking you what you charge. And you have an idea. Everyone has an idea of what your rates are.
Yeah.
And you need to be confident in, this is what I charge.
Mm-hmm.
And not just say, oh, I charge somewhere, you know, and kind of mumble, because
yeah,
it gives them an idea that it's very, very negotiable and they can work you down.
Yes. And speaking about negotiable, I did have a client who tried to negotiate with me and they ended up being the worst client that I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point where they would call my cell phone and I would start getting anxious. Like my heart rate would increase. I started like, and because they
yes,
were just
I've
so
been there.
Yeah, because they were so mean and belittling, and there's a point where I was working with one of my friends on this project and they hung up and he was like, Caitlin, I don't know how the heck you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of like an eye opener to me, that like someone else from the outside like realized what I was going through, and I was like, why the heck am I doing this? But I'll tell you why. It's because they are paying me a lot of money a month.
Mm-hmm.
But is it at the end of the day, it's like, okay, you have to come back to like what my friend said. You have to think about you.
Yeah. And I think especially from a business owner's perspective, mm-hmm, is you own a business, you don't have to put up with some of the same things that that you would as an employee.
Yeah.
And if I think that there is something to be said about your instincts and what you feel right off the bat. And we're very intuitive as women.
Yeah.
And I have noticed the people who right off the bat, I kind of went, but then you still did something with, they're the ones at the end of the day, I'm going, why did I agree to that? I knew from the beginning that that wasn't the right person for me.
Yeah.
And maybe they're right for someone else.
Yeah.
But how do you learn from that? So you, not that you don't make a mistake again, because I think we're all going to make mistakes
throughout,
but not to completely tear yourself up over the mistake you've made. Because I know that that happened to me last week. I made a mistake, and it came down to working with a client I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And when I finally kind of stood up for myself, I felt horrible about it for the rest of the day. And it really kind of messed with my, like, am I doing something right? Am I doing something wrong? And how, maybe you have a little bit more wisdom, because I don't know how to kind of get over that.
Well, when that situation happened to me, it's when you turn to the people that mean the most to you. So, like, I talked to my mom, talked to my boyfriend, I called one of my mentors, and I would highly recommend seeking out a mentor. It's kind of like, someone told me that if you have to ask them to be your mentor, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't call them to their face my mentor, but like, they totally know.
I have that too. I have a mentor too. And I don't call them a mentor, but to other people, I go, they're kind of a mentor.
And you don't even say like, no, they're a mentor. You're like, yeah, they're like my mentor. Like, they're like my mentor, but it's like 100%. No, they're my mentor. So I, like, called him, and he was like, Caitlin, you know, really? And, like, I had something happen a couple weeks ago, and I honestly think that you have to, in this situation, I told myself, I figured it out at night, and it was, like, a mistake that shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. And it's all about how you handle the situation. So I basically, so I'll give you the situation. I sent out an email blast, and you know how you put, like, that code so it generates the people's names? Okay. Well, it turns out that no one's name was in there. So I sent it out to 277 people, and it was like, hi, F-name*. And three people, like three or five, I can't remember. Maybe it was like four people, I don't know. But a handful of people emailed me, and they're like, hey, I think your code generator's messing up. And I was like, oh my gosh. And of course, I'm like, you know, asking them to sign up for my email list because they need to know more about marketing, and I can't even get it right. So I ended up... I was like, okay, well, you know, stuff happens, you know, life happens, whatever. And so the next day I like talked to some of the people that like are really helpful, called that mentor, like was like, hey, what do I do? And so we came up with a solution. I said, and then in the follow-up email, I said in the caption or in the subject, it was like, hey, glad you caught that. And then in the email, I was like, small mistakes can happen to businesses all the time. To make sure that this doesn't happen to you, call an expert. And then, okay, this is the best part. And then one of the guys that emailed me was like, hey, I think you have a mistake. He goes, well done. I was like, yeah. I was like, I did it and I pulled it off.
Yeah. That is a great string. Sometimes when you're just like, oh, I made a mistake, but hey, I'll make mistakes. Let's, you know,
yeah, it was like not fixes, admitting that I
and make lemons out of lemonade or lemonade out of lemons.
Dude, I like squeezed those lemons so hard to get that. Yeah, but it's like going back to what I mentioned before, like not apologizing. You know, life happens, stuff happens. It's happened with clients too, and it's all about like, hey, especially with clients, you know, that was my fault. This is what we're gonna do to make it better, and this is why it won't happen again. And I feel like if you do that, then you gain trust in people, and then they really respect you.
Oh, man, I love that story. So I have one last question before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Is, because you've given a lot of good advice.
Oh, thanks.
Is what is one lesson or piece of advice that has stuck with you over the years?
You know, one of my friends who also has this amazing boutique, but they turned it into like a fashion blogger. They asked me this question, and I would just say that one of the quotes that I really love is, go the extra mile, it's never crowded. And if you think about it, a lot of people do the bare minimum or they do the average, but like, what can you do as a person or as a business or as a woman to stick out from other people? So here's a great example. Whenever I meet and bring on a new client, I send them a handwritten note thanking them for trusting me with their brand. And I've started doing that with people that I meet with for like one-to-ones, like outside of networking, or like we grab coffee. I'm like, you know what? Thank you so much for just taking the time to get to know me. And if you just do little things, people realize that. And I mean, I think the handwritten notes are so underutilized. I got one from you. Thank you, by the way. Whoop, whoop. So
yes, I sent out some at Christmas time.
Yeah, I got it. It was awesome. But I think that really, like, and also I had to learn this the hard way too. Only deal with clients that you think you know how to deal with. And that's like kind of complicated. But what I mean is, like, if someone comes to you and you don't know 100% how to do something, you either have to hustle to figure it out or know that you don't have time to figure it out and just tell them straight up, you know, that's not really within my wheelhouse, but let me recommend you. Because there was a logo that someone wanted me to do, and this was in the very beginning, and I was like, money.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I can totally do that. I was so stressed out trying to get that thing done. I mean, it came out really well. I don't know how I did it, but I, like, you know, worked it out and worked, like, over, it was over the Christmas holiday. It was like last year, the year before, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it, like, now if someone asks me to do something that's like out of my wheelhouse and I'm not going to have time to research it, it's like, you know, I'm just going to pass it off and say, thank you for thinking of me. Keep me in mind for XYZ, but let me pass you off to someone else.
Yeah, I think that that's really good advice. And I think that comes with how you start focusing in on what your services are, mm-hmm. and what you can do. Because, yeah, you want to push yourself and learn a little bit more, but you don't want to get so far outside of that, especially at first, where you're not able to do the job correctly and provide the service right.
Yeah, and the one thing that I want to do is keep clients for long term, because we all know that finding new clients is more expensive than keeping them, and it's harder too. So my whole goal is to do really great work, and I tell all my clients, if I wouldn't put it on my website, I'm not going to do it for you.
Caitlin, can you share with us where we can find you, your social media channels, your website, or any announcements that you want to...
Yeah, thanks. You can find me at southstreetmarketing.com. If you want to stop in and say hello, I'm having a 2-year birthday bash on March 2nd, which is a Thursday, from 5 until 9. It's going to be really casual. Just stop in, have a drink with us, meet the team. I want to make it like a fun networking thing. And then I'm also really, really active on Instagram. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's southstreet_CO.
Awesome. And I'll have all of those in the show notes below. And thank you again, Caitlin, for joining us here at Orlando Lady Boss today. And we will catch you next time.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
I want to thank Caitlin again for joining me and telling us all about her startup story. It's one of those things where I think it's really important for other women and men, really, to hear stories about how other people start their business. And I just loved hearing about Caitlin's story. And as she mentioned, South Street Company is turning 2 in March. So I really hope you guys come out to the event. I will be there. So I hope you will be there too. And I would love to meet anyone who has come to the podcast or heard the podcast and come up and say hello, and make sure you say hello to Caitlin and tell her you heard her on my podcast. It's going to be March 2nd from 5 to 9 p.m. and it's at 415 South Summerlin Avenue. And I have the Facebook invite linked in the show notes, so you can go on there and get all the information and link it up to your calendars and everything. Please be sure to visit my blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and sign up for a monthly email list where I'll give you all the news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss. And you can like me on Facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. If you're a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, I want to know about it. So make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. And finally, please take a moment to rate, the Orlando Lady Boss podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Thank you so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your world.